Good to be out again. Good to be here. It's always good to give God's word out today. You know what I think about when we come out to church is you know, the word fear and how everybody is living in constant fear out there. You know, I'm driving around in my car, and I see people with face masks on in the car. They got the windows rolled up, looking for protection. Yeah, that's great, man. No, it is. It's unbelievable. It's sad. I mean, where was I just the other day? I was somewhere the other day, and you get depressed looking at it. I mean, you know, this is not how God created our world. He didn't create us to be fearful. He created us to have faith and to overcome anything. And that's why when you let the world kind of drag you down into it, you get sucked into it. And then now look at what's been going on in the world, because people have got depression. They're on drugs. They're on alcohol. They need to see psychiatrists and stuff like that, and it's just the devil just dragging everybody right down into the pit, you know. And then, like I said, you know, when they've got absolutely no hope whatsoever. Like as I said, when I'm seeing people drive around with the windows completely up, with the mask on and glasses on, and they're in complete bondage. It tells me that they have no faith whatsoever in God. They've got faith, but what do they put that into? They put it into the world. They put it into man. The Bible says, don't trust man, but trust God. It is better to put your confidence and your faith into God than man. But, you know, some of us, you know, we refuse to believe that. We don't think about that. We don't trust the Lord. You know, the Lord says to trust Him with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. What does that mean? It means consult Him, ask Him, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct, thank you. Thank you, Tina. Yes, He will direct your path in life. You know, I was thinking about that yesterday. It's like, okay, yeah, we're in this pandemic and this and that, but I'm going to watch less TV, watch less news, read less of the newspaper, because it's all lies. It really is. I mean, I'd rather read my Bible and work on messages at home than sit there and watch television all day and be depressed. You know, and then when Bill Gates comes up in the news feed, and, you know, some friends will send me emails and how wicked he is and how he wants to get these vaccines passed. And, you know, when the DNA and the vaccines are taken away from God's DNA, so that's what's going to happen. But he's got his day, and I know that. And so instead of really, because I was talking to a brother yesterday about that, and it's like, you know, Pablo came by for breakfast yesterday, and we had a great fellowship. And he goes, I'm just depressed, you know, about the mask and the virus. But we agreed. I said, but, you know, Pablo, God's in control. He's to be glorified. We are to fear nothing. And that's the truth of the whole matter. What's going to happen is going to happen. It doesn't matter. We're still going to die, but we'll be with the Lord. So it's like after a while, who cares? The evil people will have their day with the Lord. That's set in stone. They've got a special place where they're going, because, you know, as an example, Bill Gates and his wife are complete atheists. That's fine. He wants to play God and depopulate the world. That's between him and the Lord. I don't want to be nowhere near that judgment when that day comes, when his time is done down here. So they're going to do what they're going to do, but we've got rights. We don't have to take that thing. And nobody, I'm telling you, probably a lot of people will be refusing that in the day that comes. But I think about Psalm 91. If you got your Bibles, just for a second, and, you know, we'll just carefully read it. But this is so... This psalm is so comforting. When I read it, it just matches. Remember, this was written, you know, thousands of years ago or whatever, but it just matches what's going on in the world today. It's a beautiful psalm. This is God's sovereignty, how He loves us and protects us and says not to worry. I mean, let me just carefully read, you know, little sections by section, and we'll try to digest this. Is safety of abiding in the presence of God. This is when we're followers of God, we have a relationship with God, and He's our children, and He is our Father. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler." What does that mean? We'll stop right there. He's going to deliver us from anything down here that we fear. Look at this. "And from the perilous pestilence." What's going on now? We got this virus going on, and everybody's fearful. He says He will deliver us from the perilous pestilence. "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take" what? "Refuge." You know, guys, He's all we have down here. You're not going to fight this wicked world and think you're going to win. The only thing that's going to conquer this world and win is Almighty God. "His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day." What is He saying there? Every day you get out of bed, I was talking to my brother. He says, "Steve," he goes, "before I walk out of the door," he goes, I pray to God for protection on the roads. I pray to God for protection from the virus. I pray for God for the day." He says, "I couldn't think about walking out the door." I said, "You know what? Neither could I. I could not think about walking out my door without a long prayer for the day." Look, He's got you protected by day. He's got you protected by night. I like how He says, "nor of the arrows that fly by the day." You don't know what day brings forth. That's why it says, don't boast about tomorrow. Just take what for today has. And each day you get up, you know, you don't know what that day is going to bring forth. And you don't know, you know, if what type of arrows are going to fly at you by day. "Nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." He's talking about all day. "A thousand may fall at your side." Okay, what do we see here? We see thousands of people dying from this virus, right? Worldwide, okay? But it's like replacing your fear with faith, I always say. But you know what? We're under God's protection. When me and Dan discussed closing the church down, it's like you've got a choice to make. You know, and I'm not trying to get on people that are concerned about it, but look what that verse says right there. It says, "A thousand may fall by your side and 10,000 at your right side, but it shall not come near you." I've never been healthier in my life, but it is because I've placed my faith in the Lord, period. And I made a pact with Him. Is I'm not moving on that. This church, all of us together, we're moving forward. We're not staying home. We're not wearing masks. We're not doing that. And my time has come to leave this earth, so be it. But I made a pact and I'm not moving away from that stuff. And what's so funny about it is God's coming through with that. I was telling David and Rule, Pablo, Jerry, I just said, you know, they're shutting a lot of the churches. I said, you know, my church don't have 50 or 100 people, but it doesn't matter. I said, not one has got sick. Not one has died. I wonder why. Because it's just as easy, we can just pack it up and say, yeah, well, forget it. You know, let's listen to the government. Let's listen to these liars out there. And let's just do what they say. Let's keep under their control. And let's just not have some. Let's not remember the Lord this morning. Let's not pray anymore. Let's just start. Because that's what it is. You start falling away little by little. Because that's what they want to do. They want to break you down little by little by little. They want control. And then they want you to get out of church. And then they want control of the church. And then they want to tax the church. Anything to get away from the church. But they'll say other businesses or like liquor stores. But that's okay to be open. But just don't. But your faith. Forget about your faith. It's Stay home. It's better to stay home. Don't gather. A thousand may fall at your side, but it shall not come near you. Look how comforting the words. You know, these plagues have not come near any of us here at our church. It hasn't even come near us. Usually, I get sick twice a year. I get bad, upper respiratory infections, bad ones. I have to go to the doctor. I have to go. Like I was telling Dan, I said, I'm so sick. He goes, well, you better get antibiotics. And that's the only thing that works. You know what I'm saying? You got to go there and take those Zithromaxes, two of the day. But that's the only thing that works, because if not, I'm so sick. But you know what's so unbelievable is I haven't gotten it at all. And I usually get it like winter and maybe like middle of summer, but I always get it. But it's just like, thank God, I just haven't gotten it. I mean, I you know, it's just one thing about what's going on in this world is, for me, it's just my strength has been, if your faith is like a fist, you know, you lean more towards it. You lean more towards it and you get more spiritual and you get closer to the Lord. But when it says, it shall not come near you, I mean, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Look, the wicked will get their day. The years of the wicked in Proverbs says they are short. They're short. They don't have a lot of time down here to do what they're doing. And the Bible says the wicked will be turned into hell. What does that mean? They go to hell immediately. Face judgment. It says, the Bible says, it's turned into hell. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Okay? No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Isn't this wonderful news? Aren't you happy? I'm happy to read that. It won't even come near you. So what does it say? Don't be depressed. Go about your life. Have a good meal. Be around your friends. Laugh. Laughter's the best medicine. I was talking to a brother last night. I said, you know what? We get around our brothers and sisters, and I said, we have laughs. He goes, it's something about to the marrow. You know what I'm talking about? Is it Proverbs? I think it is. But how good it is for you to laugh. It really, really is. It's just whatever you can laugh about. I mean, it just, you know, and it takes away depression. Because anxiety begins in the heart, and that's what causes depression. But laughter is the best medicine, or a good word, right? Is the best way to take that away. But you know, in the midst of all that's going on, but God says to be joyful. What does He say? He says, you know, rejoice. You know, our redemption draws nigh. Like our brother said today, it's like we have hope. We have hope. Can you say to the unbeliever that they have hope out there? Can you say that they have any hope whatsoever? No, you're right, Marion. No, they don't have any hope. But we do. That's what's convincing. That's what's glorifying to the Lord. That's what makes Him happy, to see that we're happy, that He knows that He's got our backs. That's exactly the way I'm reading this right there. Is He has got our backs in this whole mess. So be joyful. Go about your day. And it just, I think about when it first started, I mean, it kind of got depressing, didn't it? I mean, we didn't know what was going on. And we didn't know anything about this stupid thing. And then the next thing you know, you're wearing masks. We've never seen this ever. And now we're seeing it. It's like, we don't know what to do. And then now the government's getting involved and these vaccinations and Bill Gates. And then, you know, you kind of get depressed and stuff like that. And then when people feed that fear, it's even worse. And it's like, oh, man, I'm afraid. You know, it's like when Jesus was in the boat. I think about that. Those storms were so horrific, you know. And they were afraid. All the people in the boat were afraid. And Jesus was asleep. And what is the first thing he said when he woke up? Can anybody say what he said to them? O ye of little faith. Or he's saying, in other words, where is your faith? With a question mark. He's awesome. He's right. And all he did was lift his hand up, and that storm was calmed. And it's like, that's where, as believers, we need to be even more of our faith and be strengthened by it. And that's what's calming about the Lord. It's just like, you know, even a little faith can move a mountain. Faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Even the Most High, your dwelling, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In that comforting, he commands his angels to comfort us in all our ways, on the road, at work, doing anything. You know, you never know when you're driving on the road, you're going to get in a car accident. You know, I mean, I live down 8 Mile, and it's a long run to go from, like, say, Livonia to South Lyon or something like that. But when you've got a two-lane thing that goes this way, you know, when you're right next to each other, you know, there's been some accidents down 8 Mile to where they've crossed the center line. They've went right into each other. You know, and sometimes I'm like riding down the road, and you know, some guy kind of, sometimes they move a little bit. It's like, oh boy, you know, stupid things. Really stupid things. They had one accident down 8 Mile. I think it was the owner of Arts Rental. Mike, you know Arts Rental is off of Grand River. They rent all the tools. I think he was a previous owner, but he was coming down 8 Mile like this. And he's like 78 or 80 years old, right? And there's a kid in the opposite direction who was 20, a young kid. This is about 6, 7 years ago. A young kid, he's 27 years old, and he's coming the opposite way, right? Okay? The old man loses his phone on the passenger seat and goes like this. Goes down to get the phone. And the next thing you know, the car's whirling into the opposite lane, and they cancel each other out. The kid, this young, innocent kid, has his whole life in front of him. And then you got this 80-year-old man that decided to reach for the phone, and just like that. And it's sad to see and sad to hear this stuff, but that's life. Hey, Lord, give us... Give your angels charge over us. Don't, you know, thank you for protecting us. Another illustration is I was up, we were cleaning the church gutters yesterday. And Dan, thank the Lord, you know, he was up there and he ran into a power, a wire over here. And he almost got stuck and it almost got pretty ugly. And I was trying to get there and Eugene walked him through to get out of the situation because the bucket tightened up and it stopped working up there, and he was by a power line up there. So thank the Lord that that's a prime example. Lord, give your angels charge over the situation, and that's exactly what happened with you, because we've all seen that, we've all witnessed that. But what's interesting is, as I learned a lesson yesterday, is I've never been up in that bucket, and it's scary. It's like going on a Cedar Point ride, going to the top of the peak. And Ray, I was just talking to Ray about that downstairs, you know, when you're putting lights up for Brian or something. But it's like a Cedar Point ride. You're out of your element. You're 40, 50 feet way up there, and you look down, and it's like, oh man. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's just any little thing or something like that, but it's just unbelievable. Because I'll go up, you know, only so high on a roof, or in my business, or my ladders. But this is the highest I think I've ever been. But Dan made me get in there, and he's going to teach me how to overcome my fear and teach me how to do it. And I said, oh, okay. So I was a little scared at first, but my illustration is going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I got in there, I'll be honest with you, I was fearful. I mean, I just, you know, he told me how to, I'm good with being coordinated and working the buttons. But once he told me, shoot the bucket out and to lean it straight up. And now, this is where the Cedar Point ride comes in. He goes, now hit the button to take you straight all the way up till it stops. And that's when I'm thinking, I'm hitting it. And then I'm right here a little bit. No, he goes, nope. Go all the way up because you got to get around the corner of the house. And I'm halfway. And I said, and I'm about ready to say, I don't know, man. So Dan keeps telling me, and I said, okay. I said, pray, Lord. I hit the button. So now I'm all the way to the top, and I'm looking down. It's like, man, I was ready to just say, forget it. But Dan told me something. He says, don't be afraid. Dan said to me, don't be afraid. And I listened to him, and I overcame that. Because nobody that's ever done that before, it's just what Jesus said. Exactly what Jesus said. He says, be not afraid. I am with you to the very end. You know how that should speak volumes in our lives? He says, be not afraid. He goes, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Low.
Yeah, there you go. Low end, absolutely. But he says to fear not. The Bible says to fear not over 350 times. That's a great illustration. I mean, and you learn when you face your fears. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. See, he's getting really graphic with his words. He's given an illustration of a cobra and a lion. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him with and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, Jesus, he has got us right till we're dead. Right till we're dead. And I'm going to read, I just wanted to go to that Matthew part of that. Let me see, I'm going to read him when he's getting in the boat right here. Again, it says, now when he got into the boat, his disciples went, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep, okay? Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. So you see what they did is they took their mind off the Lord and put it on the circumstance and thought that they were going to die. But he said to him, why are you so fearful, O you little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. It's the same thing with Peter walking out. And I was talking to Jerry Dan about this yesterday. And this is a little fact about it. As you think about that, when they were in the boat and they saw the Lord walking on the water, you know, they could beat Peter to death all they want. I mean, he for denying the Lord or whatever. But out of the 12 disciples, he's the only one that had the guts to get out of the boat and at least start walking to come on the water. You think about it, he's the only one that had the courage to do that. The only thing he didn't do right is he took his eyes off the Lord for that brief moment. Hey, we could all do that. But you notice he started to sink when he did do that. But the Lord grabbed them right away and said, hey, I got you. I got you through this. Don't be afraid. Keep your faith. But you know, you got to give it to Peter just for doing that, can't you? When most people wouldn't even think about doing that. Oh, see, here we go again. Here we go again with this pandemic and the mask and staying inside. It's the same thing as getting on the water. What is your mind telling you? Well, if I get out of the boat and I start walking, I'm going to probably sink and drown and die. right? That's the normal capacity. So Peter, it's cool, man. He just kind of got out there and just started walking by faith. It's all by faith. So we just learn a good lesson with that today. We really, really, you know, the Lord's example that He gives us by faith is just unbelievable. And with it, I mean, you can't go wrong with it and stuff like that. And to replace that fear with faith is such a great thing. But we need to be encouraged today. That's what, you know, my message could be brought forth is just be encouraged, be enlightening, be positive, be and knowing that, like we read today, it set your things not on things on the earth that pass away, that have no value, you're not taking them with, but set your affections on things above. See, look, it's straight up there. That's where our home is. Our kingdom will be here one day. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth that rot, destroy, they rust, they've got no value. And when we set our minds on the things of the Lord, that's where we need to be. And when we think that way and act that way, and we are to encourage others and be uplifting and to be of an encouragement, not a discouragement to people. And spread the word as much as you can. You know, in difficult times, the good word is good for the heart, especially for people, older people that need help and all that. And it's just by faith, and that's a good thing. And let us be encouraged by that. And what a blessing that is. So as we close, just keep praying for each other. Pray for this world. Pray for the sick. It was good to see Rick and his wife out this morning. He was looking a little bit better, you know. And just be ready for what comes, you know. Hey, that rapture is right around the corner in my book. You know, it really is. It's just these signs are evident. So as these times approach, you know, pray that the Lord is with us. Pray that the Lord gets us out of here, and pray that we could become a good witness for Him while we are waiting down here, and be positive, because our redemption draws nigh. So He says to look up. It's the same thing as setting your affections above. Look up. So, what a blessful time. The Bible's so awesome. So good. So good. Father, we thank You for this time. Thank You, Lord, that we could gather in church. Thank You for the morning meeting. Thank You for the fellowship. Thank You for everybody coming out here, Lord. It's such a big deal. It really is a big deal. I hope You bless everybody here today, Lord. Everybody. Keep them in good health, Lord. Keep their spirits uplifted. Pray for Alana right now. She's very sick, Lord. We just lift her up right now. We lift up my brother Pat, who can't walk, Lord. We lift up Rick Cimitero, Lord. Continue to be with him and get him out. We pray for Mary Carpenter's ear right now, Lord. She's a sweet lady, Lord. It's been a faithful servant down here, Lord. We lift up Greg and Becky getting out of the hospital. We lift that up. We lift up Anita Donaldson and Jerry right now, Lord. And we just keep praying for people, Lord. Pray for the sick. Pray for Jerry's wife who's recovering from bladder surgery right now. And we pray for Pablo, his toe. They stripped his nail off. We pray for that, Lord. We pray that You bring us back this Wednesday for study and keep us focused. And we love You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Thank you.